Our second reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, and then chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. That begins on page 35 of the New Testament of your pew Bible. Listen again to the Word of God. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Now to chapter 2, verse 14. As Jesus was walking along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth and said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were also sitting with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard this, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Now, just like a lot of you here today, when I was 18, I had my whole life figured out. Yep. It was in the spring of my senior year of high school. I had landed this kind of off-campus internship in the sports medicine field because I was fascinated with orthopedics and I was going to be a sports medicine doctor. Did you know that? And maybe it was because I had had enough experience with my own knees and ankles through sports, and that should have earned me some college credits right there just through life. Well, one of the reasons I chose to attend Austin College in Sherman was because at the time it had the best or one of the best pre-med programs in the state. If you could survive, the acceptance rate into med school was incredibly high. Keywords, if you could survive. AC is a small school. When I started, there are roughly 1,200 students. I was coming from a three-year high school of 1,800 plus, so it's kind of a culture shock. Well, annually, over 60% of incoming freshmen had the same thought as me. And we all registered for those intro biology and chemistry courses, which in my mind had nothing to do with sports medicine. Give me some ligaments, some bones, some laparoscopic surgical tools, right? And it was no real secret that the purpose of that first year was to weed out as many students as possible. I survived the fall semester, and while I didn't necessarily fail anything, I wasn't off to a great start. But I thought, you know what, hey, we're going to plow on, we're going to sign up for spring semester, it'll get better. Wrong. After about 3 weeks of organic chemistry, again, nothing sports medicine with that, and microbiology, I tapped out. You know how in Navy SEAL school they have that bell you have to ring when candidates quit? If there is one of those on top of the science building, it probably would have rung as regular as the chapel chimes. And so while the majority of those who were forced to change course, whether that was sooner or later, fell back on a nice business degree, I made the logical switch and declared a music major. My dad was thrilled about that. On top of that, because I had dropped two pretty big courses and the labs that went with it, I fell below the threshold of being a full-time student. So that messes with your scholarships and stuff there. So I had to add just a quarter credit class, okay, just anything. So I went down to the kinesiology athletic department, saw the director there. I was like, just give me something. Coaching baseball, that was a class, and that would come in really handy right now. Full. Golf. Sorry, that's full too. Everything's pretty much full, except there's one place I can put you. Aquasizing.
aquasizing, exercising in the water. Not cool.
I remember when they came around, they were taking pictures for the yearbook. I held my breath underwater for about a minute so I didn't show up as part of the aquasizing class. It was humiliating. But even then, my path to my degree wasn't yet done. My senior year, I was able to make some adjustments and navigated kind of a new path. And I graduated with a major in religion and a minor in music. But I did it all within 4 years, okay? I'm proud of that. I share all that because in life, we're constantly making adjustments. Sometimes radical turns, pre-med to music, right? There's nothing wrong or bad about setting out as a pre-med student. Even to my dad's fears and protests, there would have been some kind of job out there for a music history nerd. But it took some time to figure out God's path for me. And yes, I could have served him in either of those vocations, but where I am today, this is what he chose for me. And I'm confident of that. But it took me nearly 22 years to receive and embrace that message. And even then, it wasn't all that well defined. Imagine many of you have taken some long and winding roads to get where you are today. And see, that's my brief story of personal and professional transformation. And during this month of March, all of us, everyone who calls FPCA their church home, have the opportunity to enter this new season of ministry and impact. And we believe that if you walk these steps with us, you will be transformed as well. Transform is the name of our campaign to equip us to achieve some very big goals to improve our collective ministry by updating and transforming our building. Some of us have been living with these concepts for some time. For some of you, maybe you came to a round table or you've heard little pieces here and there. So what is this about? Well, to explain that, we're going to open our journal, wink, wink, right, to page 6. Or if you're on a device, that's going to show up on page 9. Go figure, okay? Sorry, page 8. This is under the Why Are We Doing It section. And we're going to read the first, under the bullet points, the first two paragraphs there. So read with me. This project is about reaching people. This project is about reaching people, about inviting them and teaching them to follow Jesus and seeing life transformed for them and for our community. At present, guests who visit us may have difficulty finding the nursery, discover that classrooms for older children are far away, and have to interpret signage that is not helpful. To transform lives, we must reach people. This project involves creating a much more inviting space and an inviting culture than we currently have for young families, children, youth, and seniors, including the disabled. It is difficult to get around our facility using canes, walkers, and wheelchairs. Bathrooms are not ADA compliant. To transform lives, we must be an inviting congregation serving people in an inviting space. You might pistar by those two paragraphs there, because this is what we believe is God's vision for FPCA. But none of this occurs without personal and spiritual transformation. That has to come first. That's why the journal says this next. This project involves a heart change for our congregation, to think in a new way about loving God, loving our neighbors, and making others a priority for our church community. To transform life for others, we must be ready to transform ourselves. See, I honestly look at this in the same way I reflect on my personal life. This church, like all of us, has had to adjust its course throughout its existence. When the decision was made in 1956
to move the church to this location, I firmly believe that was faithful to God's calling. That was a massive transformation. That was not tweaking how things are done here and there. That affected what they would do and how they would do it for decades to come. It was a seminal moment that brought us where we are today. Much like hearing the call to ordain ministry and following through by going to seminary. But the time has come to ask some tough, honest questions. Is ministry done today the same way as it was in the 50s? Yes, the eternal truth of the gospel message never changes. That's the same. But methods of effectively communicating and sharing that message have. Technology is our friend in this case. The ability to record and post our sermons, our beautiful music, the capability of our Sunday school classes to stream or even play DVD lessons are just a few things that would have been unthinkable 65 years ago. The techniques and styles of preaching have increased. How we gather, how we interact, how people connect today is different. And so the time has come for us to change direction in some ways, and that's what Transform is all about, reaching people. And so on March 29th, all who call FPCA their church home will be given the opportunity to sacrificially commit to step one of this project. And it will require all of us making that joyful sacrifice to something bigger than ourselves to reach our goal. As Rich said last week, it's going to take all hands on deck. And so today I'm going to challenge you with something you heard back during Will You Grow? And it's this: will you make a commitment to make a commitment? All that means is that we want you to commit to beginning a journey that will lead you to a commitment. We need you. Wherever I drive today, unless I know exactly where I'm going, this is my map. It's one of my favorite apps on my phone, right? Maps. When I miss a turn or there's construction blocking away, that never happens, right? And I have to go a different way. I wait a few seconds, and this magical word shows up. Rerouting. Okay? And boom, there it is. I'm back on track. It's a great feeling. I think about it, and that's kind of the life story of the Israelites in the Old Testament. By this point in Isaiah 43, the Israelites had ignored God's roadmap so badly, they had driven their car right off the cliff into Babylonian exile. But here they are. They're in the process of returning home. And God is telling them once again everything He wants to do for them. Sometimes we look at the magnitude of this building project and think it would seem impossible to pull off. There's no way we can do it. I've heard that from some of you. This is nothing compared to the obstacles the Israelites were facing. Yet here's God telling them, I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That was the appropriate illustration for that time and that audience to convince them that God is capable of doing anything He wants. And why does He want to do it? Up in verse 4 of chapter 43, He tells them, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. Let that sink in for a moment. God Almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, desires good things for his people because they are precious, honored, and loved. Are you any less a child of God? Are you any less precious, less honored, less loved? I'll stand here today and proclaim with as much sincerity and conviction as possible and emphatically yet tenderly respond, no. He wants to do these things for us because he loves us, knows we need to follow his path of greater discipleship and increasing our impact. And when we do, when we recognize that incredible love and amazing grace he freely offers, we will declare his praise. And that's one way we will do this on Commitment Sunday on March 29th. To do that, though, there's an important move we need to make, just like the Israelites did. We hear that instruction when Jesus emerges from the wilderness, from the temptation. He says, repent and believe the good news. One way to interpret repent is to change direction or turn around, do a 180. That's a transformational move. Because of sin, we all veer off of God's path and we need realignment. That's why each week we have that prayer of confession at the beginning of each service, because we've got to get back on track, get aligned with God before we do anything else. Immediately after Jesus proclaimed that message to repent and believe the good news, he begins calling the disciples, Simon, Andrew, James, and John. But then in chapter 2, he crosses paths with this unlikely character, Levi, the tax collector. And two words are all it took. Follow me. And Levi did just that. We know this wasn't like a Jedi mind trick, because we know of other cases where others and individuals did not immediately follow Jesus. They turned him down. Levi followed him. So let's focus on him for a moment. It says he's sitting at a tax booth. That could not have been a very fun or pleasant occupation. It was lucrative, but it came at a price. Relationally and socially, he was scum. He was taxing Jews to give to the Romans, and he made a pretty good little denarii doing it. And I contrast him sitting at his tax booth and me sitting at my desk during the week. And every now and then, one of you will pop your head in my office and just say hello, ask about our kids, sports, weather, whatever. Not because you have to. It's because you're kind and you're thoughtful. It's really nice. Thank you. When's the last time you went to the tax assessor's office and did that? I believe Levi was called at the right time and at the right place. He must have sensed something was really missing from his life, and he was ready to do a 180. Why else would he have left that booth? He was sick and needed a physician. Following Jesus, transforming life. So I look at us in our building. As people, we are sin-sick souls. There is brokenness all around us and within us. We need saving. We need transformation. It's the same with the building. When you dodge a gas leak explosion near the preschool, ceilings falling down from water leakage, can't deny that it's sick. And to much of your credit, we've brought it along this far. Thank you. But we've passed the temporary remedies of Band-Aids and easy patches. The layout and lack of organization makes it more difficult for the Levites of this world than it should. It too is sick and needs to transform. We have several major goals in this campaign. Yes, we have a financial goal. Yes, we want to continue to normalize the conversation around generosity, but spiritually, We want everyone, including me, to grow our trust in God when it comes to our resources. We want everyone, including me, to grow our trust in God when it comes to our resources. How can we do that? Well, first, and always first, there's Scripture. But second, we are equipping you with some effective tools. We know the journal is key. But also this week, those on our mailing list will be receiving a toolkit to assist you in making a decision. Now, from person to person, household to household, it's going to look different. Stages of life present different opportunities and benefits to giving generously. For my family, it would not make a lot of sense to draw from a retirement account at this stage. But it might be the right place for you. We're going to have to put our sacrificial gift together from several places. We can set aside a portion of monthly income. And I know what a big ask that is, because just like most of you in here, we answered that call to will you grow by taking that step up the ladder. Okay, so our giving increased this year already. But guess what? I got a phone call about 2 weeks ago from our insurance broker. She said, if we just switch providers, we keep all your coverages the same, we can save you $1,000 per year. Do you want to do that? Duh. What does that mean? Our transformed gift just increased by $3,000. Not bad. Second, we'll put off some major expenses. And this one hits home pretty hard. This might sound silly to some of you, but for those who know how much I enjoy cooking, I kind of daydream about doing some small catering and pop-ups here and there. Not for the money, but for the enjoyment. And, you know, I might have been researching here and there what it would take to get me from what I have to where I would want to be. That's not insignificant. But unless things really change, I'm putting a lot of that on hold for now. I'm going to delay that major purchase or purchases and redirect those funds. And I shared this at staff, and someone might have teased me. I uttered the words like, I might have said barbecue empire, okay? Someone said, oh, what a sacrifice. But I pointed out, I was like, you're the ones who are going to miss out on all the food. And I think they got it at that point. Whatever your dream is, you know, or whatever big thing you're looking forward to, that's a want that is going to go on hold for a little bit. But third, we have some non-retirement investments we can pull from. I'd just say none of those three pools by themselves moves the needle greatly. But for us, when we combine those three, it'll make a significant and sacrificial gift. So friends, depending on where you are in your spiritual life, your realigning with God might look like a slight adjustment on the steering wheel. It might look like pulling the handbrake, spinning around a race in the opposite direction of where you're going. Most likely it's somewhere in between there. But no matter where you are, Scripture, this journal, this season of growth will get you back on God's track. So can you make that commitment to make a commitment this morning? Because if we can all do that, our perspective on this building project will change. See, the reason I have such faith and confidence is because I've experienced it in my own ministry. I've lived it. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've been part of a campaign like this, and I've witnessed what God can do through his people when there is alignment. And I say, just look at the church history in this journal. Read for yourselves. It's been a long time since this church has been asked to step up to this level of generosity for something of this magnitude. It will require a renewal of our minds. what may look impossible to us, like rivers flowing through a desert, is just one more opportunity for God to show how much He cares, treasures, adores, and loves us. He is waiting for us. He is waiting for us to transform. It's in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.